Good evening, everybody. Well, you know you must be doing something right when the internet goes down. So praise the Lord. I am so glad that you're here. I'm excited about the book of Revelation, and I hope you are too. It's not a scary book, although there are really weird things that happen in it. But when you kind of pull back some of the little pieces and you see what God is telling us through the book of Revelation, it's amazing. So I am super glad that you guys are here. All right, to get started, this is the book of Revelation. This is the first of 5 weeks. And we probably want to know what in the world is going on. All right, first I want to tell you about a fishing trip that my husband and I went on. We were in Colorado a couple weeks ago, and we were fishing. And we had all the signs saying we were fishing. If you will look at my outfit, on my head I had my new Patagonia hat on. I had an insect-resistant buff on, so the insects wouldn't bite your neck. I have a Columbia fishing shirt with a vent in the back to keep you nice and cool. I have my Orvis gloves on, my fishing gloves. I have my Cool pants. It's not like cool. It's the brand name is Cool. Down below, you can't see, I had my neoprene socks on and my Corker boots. All right, so those are all signs that I was fishing. You'll also notice that we're on water. That's a big sign, and that I was actually holding a fish. And those are the big trout that were in this lake. And so we're in a boat, we're in a lake, we had a guide. We were fishing. And I do have to show this one too, because he would get mad if I didn't. All right, so there's signs that we were fishing. And while we're sitting in this boat, there's not another person around, just the three of us, my husband, myself, and our guide. And as we're fishing, every once in a while, you could hear the trout, flop out. They just kind of jump out of the water and take a look at who's there. And so that was a sign, but way up in the sky, you could hear jets flying over. I mean, and they were so high, you couldn't even see them. And I know that the people in those planes were looking down at the mountains, because the Rocky Mountains are huge. I mean, it takes a half hour and by plane to get across the Rockies. So these people must have been looking down, but they didn't see us. They didn't see the signs that we were fishing. They were going too fast. They weren't looking for them. So tonight, we're going to talk about signs. And our goal tonight is to look at some of the signs that we see today that Jesus spoke of concerning the last days. All right, let's see. Oh, we were very happy when we were fishing. All right, so you may say, what in the world is going on? What is wrong with people nowadays? What happened to our country? This is not the country I knew when I was young. I mean, there's all kinds of questions that people have. And so there's the girl with the questions. And these are all really legitimate concerns. What is going on? There is something. Our world, our nation, is very different today than it was 10 years ago. Would you agree with that? Yeah. So we are about to embark upon a great journey because we are going to be going through the entire book of Revelation in 5 days, which is like impossible. So we're going to do an overview, and we are not going to touch every single thing that's in Revelation for sure, but we're going to get the gist of what's going on and how does it impact us. Because God's word is alive and active, and it is going to do something to us. And God didn't just allow the book of Revelation to be there just because there's weird things in it. He meant it for something. So we need to find what that something is. Would you agree? Good. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that You have given us your word. Lord, you have given us even clues and signs, Lord, to be looking for. You said that when we see certain things begin to happen, that means that your coming is very soon. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that you would illuminate our hearts and our minds, Lord. Father, your Holy Spirit would just fill us and teach us those things, Lord, that you want us to know about the book of Revelation. And I pray, Father, that you would just keep everything safe and running smoothly. Lord, we know that when we step out in faith and do something for the Lord, the enemy is right there. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, and he wants to rob and kill and destroy. But Lord, we just rebuke him in the name of Jesus and invite your Holy Spirit into this place tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would be glorified by what we talk about. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight we are going to be looking at what the book of Revelation is all about, why the book of Revelation is relevant for today, and it is. I mean, it is like this is what God was talking about. We're also going to look at the blessings associated with reading the book of Revelation, and we're going to talk about the rapture of the saints towards the end. So, my question, first question is to you, why is the book of Revelation, well, why is it important to study the book of Revelation? Raise your hand, shout out, this is interactive.
It's all about Jesus.
Okay, the book of Revelation is all about Jesus. I would agree with that. Yeah. Signs of the times, absolutely.
To be prepared.
To be prepared, yeah, definitely. Yes, we are blessed. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Raise your hand if you don't want to be blessed. Good. All right. Anything else? All right, so it's important to study the book of Revelation. Then, if it's important to study, why do some people want to avoid the book of Revelation? Fear. Fear of what? Fear of what's going to happen. Yeah, there's some gnarly things in there. It's complicated. When you see a pregnant woman and a beast coming out of the water and then a beast on the land and, oh my goodness, it's craziness. But it's awesome too. Anything else why people wouldn't want to read the book of Revelation? Oh, that touches our heart, doesn't it? Our family members might not be saved. But if we understand how the book of Revelation works and what God is actually saying, God is God. Maybe he can open hearts a little bit. Maybe he can have those divine appointments for us, and we will know what to say. All right. The book of Revelation is not the book of Revelations. Okay, it's not plural. It's the book of the revelation, and revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the whole purpose of Revelation, is showing us that Jesus isn't that little baby that was born in the stable anymore. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Revelation takes care of all the wickedness that has happened on the earth, takes care of the bad people who refuse to accept him, and brings in the kingdom for us, called the millennium. So it's not the book of Revelations. It's one revelation. And, we see Jesus in his glory and his power. All right, so who actually wrote the book of Revelation? Anybody know? John, yes. Okay. John wrote the book of Revelation. Looking at the book first. Okay, the things that we're going to see, when we get to the judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, there's a lot of stuff falling out from the sky. This is not scriptural, but what if, since God already knows when all these things are going to be happening, what if he's starting to put those things in place now? And you know how you're just going to throw something and it takes time to get to? What if he's doing that? I mean, It's not beyond the scope of maybe. I just thought it was so interesting because it was just yesterday that they find this asteroid coming to the Earth. All right, with the lawlessness, a lot of our stores have closed. I have a list, and I'm sure this is not everything, but I'm going to read it to you, okay? Because this is very disturbing to me as a professional shopper. Big Lots, Tuesday Morning, Amazon Go, Corner Bakery, Express, Walmart, The Gap, JCPenney, REI, Talbot's, which makes nice clothes, Burger King, Fossil, Rite Aid, CVS. Okay, so if Rite Aid, CVS, and Walgreens are gone, where do we? Okay, so this doesn't mean every single store is closing, but they are at least downsizing and some are closing. Okay, so Rite Aid, CVS, Amazon Fresh, Mattress Firm, Walgreens, Foot Locker, Banana Republic, Target, David's Bridal. Where do you, I don't need one anymore, but I mean, where are their bridal places? Sephora, Goodwill. GameStop, Party City, Nordstrom, Best Buy, Children's Place, Jenny's Fabric. That's a sad day. Bath and Body Works, Macy, Cracker Barrel, Paper Stores, Ann Taylor, Sprouts, Office Depot, Lowe's, and then it just goes on and on. When did we ever have that many stores closing? Where are we supposed to shop? Amazon, yeah. Amazon. It's a conspiracy. That's what it is. All right, this is even worse. This is post-pandemic America. 50% of Americans believe there's no God. Okay, 50% of all Americans, okay? But 60% of Christians have left the church. Just wrap your mind around that for a minute. 60% of Christians after the pandemic, 60% have left the church. To me, that says that the love of many have grown cold. And there's even churches now that you don't even have to bring your Bible because the Bible is old-fashioned and it's not up to date, so just leave it at home. It's craziness. So Jesus said, "See that you are not troubled," because these things could be very troubling to us. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And then he also said, "Now, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh." So we are seeing things begin to happen. According to the Olivet Discourses, here's the signs, here's what we're seeing. This means Jesus is coming. But there's also things that if you know the book of Revelation and you know where countries are going, you know, you can see things that are happening now that are going to be ushering in those things. For example, the World Health Organization, they want to control the health of the world, and they are an organization. So that's what they're all about, the World Health Organization. All right, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Okay, the World Economic Forum. Anybody hear that? Klaus Schwab. Yeah. Okay, it's not super funny because this man is all about the Great Reset. You've heard that before, the Great Reset. This is his idea. His idea is create a pandemic, create something that's going to toss people on their head, and then remake it. This is the opportunity to remake it. He also has said, build back better. That wasn't a Biden thing. That was a Klaus Schwab. We're going to destroy or cause something to happen to destroy so that we can build back better. And what we're going to build back better is some kind of a world where we're all under one government. The central bank digital currency. That's one of the things where we know that we are not going to be having paper money anymore. It's going to be on a credit system. Now that is totally in the Antichrist realm. So the World Health Organization wants one health system. And even at least a couple weeks ago, Biden said that he would be okay with giving authority over the health of you and me to the World Health Organization. That means that wherever they are, if they say, oh, it's too hot today, everybody stay in the house, you stay in the house. Nobody can have this particular surgery, you're out, too bad. So they would be governing everything that has to do with our health. The World Economic Forum wants one world government. And when the rapture happens and chaos floods the world, people are going to be crying for a one world government. And then the central bank digital currency, of course, is one world currency. So those are things that are helping to get to that place where the Antichrist is going to be able to step in and be controlling the entire world. And we'll talk about that a little bit closer. And then there's something else that's happening too. And this was a newscaster. I think she was on a Chinese news, casting the news. And she was talking about robots and how the AI are going to be taking over all these jobs that people do. And she made the comment that artificial intelligence can look very real. And in fact, she was one. So there is a place at the midpoint of the tribulation where the Antichrist comes into the temple and declares himself to be God. They set up a statue of him, and it says that the statue breathes and speaks. AI is right there. Can look exactly like the Antichrist and can speak, see things. I mean, that we wouldn't even be having this conversation 10, 20 years ago, but now it is ready to be set up. So the book of Revelation is very relevant for today. So when we understand what's going on in the last days and we see it happening, we can see that this is happening right now. We are part of people living in Bible times. We wear different clothes, but we are in Bible times. And I was so encouraged today. I heard somebody talk about if we are in Bible times and our children are in Bible times, our grandchildren are in this time, that even though it can be very scary and frightful, God is going to give them the power that they need to live a victorious life in this crummy world. That's encouraging to me. I have 9 grandkids, and I want them, you know, to love the Lord and to be able to be strong, because there is a lot of bad influence around right now. So that's encouraging to me. We have to remember that the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he's going to, a lot of people just say, oh, you conspiracy theorists, everything is fine. We're happy, we're just going to the grocery store and going to soccer and doing this and that, you know, like every day. But things are different now. And after the pandemic, things are different. And if you look and see what the book of Revelation is about, and you see these things, you just know that God is coming soon. And because of that, I mean, that should change the way that we see things and the way that we look at things. So we need to take heart. We know the end of the story, and we win. In Revelation 1:3, it says, "Blessed is he who reads and hears the words of this prophecy." So we are blessed when we hear about Revelation and when we actually read Revelation. and those who keep the things that are written in it, for the time is near. And if it was near in that century, it is way near now. All right, next slide. All right. Revelation is the only book, okay, that we're going to be blessed. Okay, let's talk about the rapture. All right, what is the rapture? The rapture is the time when Jesus will come for his followers, both dead and alive. We will rise to meet him in the clouds as we receive our new heavenly bodies, and we will also go to heaven with him. So a lot of people could say, well, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. But the New Testament was written in Greek, and the word for being caught up was called harpazo, and they defined that as catching away. So what that basically is that there's a whole bunch of people around you, and soon there's not. Would you like to see that again? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, things will be caught up. All right, so let's look at some scriptures. We're going to show us why we believe that our rapture will be before the tribulation, pre-trib. All right, John 14, 2 through 3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus promised that he would come back and take us to where he is, which is in heaven, of course. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 2, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." This is Paul talking. "You shall not all sleep," meaning we're not all going to die, "but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another." Revelation 3:10 also says, "Because you have kept my commands to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who are on the earth." In Revelation 4, John is called to come up to heaven. That is an example of rapture. John, come up here, just like Jesus has come up here to us. So we see ideas of the rapture. Now come back to the wedding in a minute. There's three ideas. There's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. And of course, we believe, and most Calvaries do, almost everybody I've talked with, that we will be raptured before the tribulation. Now, one thing that I didn't know until Lisa pointed it out in the Bible study, I thought the tribulation started the rapture. Okay, we go up, timeline starts. It doesn't. Tribulation is going to happen first, but we don't know when the tribulation, did I say tribulation first? Rapture first, thank you, not tribulation. Rapture first, then tribulation. The tribulation will start, and we'll talk more about this next week, when the Antichrist signs a peace treaty. Then we can absolutely mark 7 years from that moment until Jesus comes back. All right. Let's go back, and nobody knows the time. All right. 7 years. Yes, but nobody knows the time when the rapture is going to happen. Okay, the Jewish wedding tradition. I'm just going to read this. This is very cool. This is what happens at a Jewish wedding and how it corresponds to Jesus coming back. In the Jewish wedding, the groom leaves the father's house. Jesus left heaven. the Jewish wedding, groom travels to the bride's home. Jesus comes to the earth. You have to pay a price for the bride. Jesus died on the cross for sins. The offer is either accepted or rejected by the bride's father. Jesus offers salvation. You're bound by marriage contract. We become Christ's bride. The groom prepares a home. Jesus prepares a place for us. The father sends the son back. God sends Jesus back. The announcement of the groom in the Jewish wedding, the archangel announces Jesus. The bride goes with the groom. The church is raptured. They spend 7 days together in a closed chamber. We're 7 years in heaven while the tribulation's going on. And the wedding feast lasts for 7 days, and the marriage supper of the Lamb, I can't say, lasts for 7 days because I don't know that for sure, but it seems like it would. Any questions so far? Okay, I hope you're not bored to death. All right, let's go past the rapture here, the ideas of the rapture. Nobody knows the time or the hour. Okay, what will happen at the rapture? All right, the Lord comes down. He does not touch the ground. Notice that. Because if he touched the ground, that would be his second coming, and it's not. So he comes down through the clouds. So he's up in the clouds. Whether that's the, you know, regular clouds, or it could be translated a bunch of Christians around. Okay? He comes down. The dead in Christ rise first. Now, what is that going to look like? I mean, some people have been buried in tombs in a graveyard, but some have been lost at sea. Some have been eaten by a shark. Something happens, and all of these bones come together, get their new bodies, and we go up after them in an instant, so fast you can't even imagine. That has to be a God thing. So the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, that's he's a very alive, shall be caught up with him in the air. And we will be with the Lord. How long?
Forever.
All right. So the idea of a rapture is seen in scriptures. We just saw the scriptures. That's a little S on there. It's seen in scriptures. It's seen in God's throne room. Because, I didn't tell you this part, when John was called up to come to heaven and see these visions of things that were happening, the seven churches were represented by a lampstand, okay, a stand that has candles on them. When John turns around, he sees the lampstands in heaven. That was the end of the church. The church has been raptured, and now they are in heaven. No more will the church be talked about in the book of Revelation until the very last part, and it will be talked about how we come with the Lord when he's ready to set up his kingdom. So that's an evidence that we are raptured before all this stuff happens. So also the focus on the Jewish people, that's a sign that the rapture happens before the tribulation, because now we're focusing on the Jews. Also, the Jewish wedding is a sign that shows that we are raptured, and the lampstands in heaven. All right, so here's the numbers. If there are about 8 billion people in the world currently, and let's say conservatively there's 32% Christians, that's 2,560,000,000 people would be raptured. That's a sizable group. Plus the dead, don't forget them. So after the rapture, we've lost, 2,560,000,000 people. So about 5,440,000,000 people would be left. So there's the numbers, and the idea of a rapture is this catching away of people. But what is going to happen afterwards? there's going to be fear. There's going to be chaos. I mean, just think for a moment. If there's 32% Christians that are raptured, they might be driving a car, they might be a pilot, they might be, you know, a truck driver. Just think of all the different jobs that we have and take out handfuls of people. There's going to be unmanned vehicles. I mean, there's going to be a lot of chaos and confusion going on. And the idea of a rapture means that the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is taken out. What I'm saying is, each one of us, when we have accepted the Lord, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. When we go to be with the Lord, that restraining power is gone as well. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not in the world anymore, but we, by way of being a Christian, we're not restraining bad things anymore. Right now we have we can vote, we can say things to people, but when we're gone, what's going to happen? What's that? All hell is going to break loose. Oh. When they're gone, there will be chaos. Okay, so what are we supposed to do with that? What are we supposed to do? Well, here's the takeaways. There's three takeaways for today. First one, God is still on the throne. That's a good thing because he runs the universe. So he's on the throne. And because he's on the throne, I don't have to fear, for God Almighty is my God. I'm a child of the King and I'm on the winning side. So I don't have to be afraid because God is still on the throne. The second thing is that God is still in control. He hasn't given up control and just said, okay, well, good luck. I do need to be in the Word. I do need to make myself strong because the enemy is going to try over time just to pull us away from God. And we have to, you know, be realizing that. Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. There's an understatement. And number three, God is still loving. He is going to have many, many times that even after the rapture, many times that people will have the opportunity to come to the Lord. So how do you get saved? First, you have to admit you're a sinner. It's easy as ABC. B, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then C, you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So I'm assuming that probably everybody here would be saved. So is this something that would help believers already? Yes, no? Yes, because if the time is short, God is going to be using us to share this with other people. So if you can remember that, A, admit you're a sinner, B, believe in Jesus, C, confess that he's Lord and Savior, that is going to give you something to be able to tell other people. So just for right now, let's just pray and if you have not accepted the Lord, knowing that things are going at a pretty fast speed right now, maybe you'd want to accept the Lord right now. But let's pray and then we'll see what happens. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you love us. Father, I pray, God, that you who are looking on our hearts right now, Lord, if there's anybody in here who has not accepted you, I pray, Lord, that they would realize that all have sinned. And Lord, we've all done things that are wrong. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to admit that we have done things that are wrong. And then, Lord, help us to believe that you are the one who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We don't have to be punished for them because they're gone, they're as far away as the east is from the west, Lord. And so we thank you for that. So help us just to realize that we need to believe in you and just rest in that. And then, Father, help us just to confess that I am a sinner and I've done things wrong and I need you, Jesus. So, Lord, if there's anybody here, I just pray that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, and just draw them to you. And, Lord, for those of us who have already done that, I pray that you just etch that into our memories, Lord, so that we can just look for those opportunities that you're going to give us, Lord, to speak to people who, if we don't speak to them, they might be going through the tribulation. And Lord, when we start looking at that next week, that is a very, very difficult time to go through. So Father, we just ask that you would redeem folks. And Lord, we can't take anything else to heaven with us except the people that we have touched. And so we thank you, Father, for that. Amen. Okay, next time, oh, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Next week, we're going to talk about God's throne room and he who is worthy. We're going to talk about the seven seals, and it's not the kind on SeaWorld. The four horsemen, those left behind. It's very sad, those left behind. 144,000 Jewish evangelists and two very powerful old guys. Oh, memory verse. If you are so inclined, there's never wrong to know God's word. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you don't know the hour your Lord is coming. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. The Lord is coming soon. And you know what? We need to be ready. See you next week. Okay, what time is it? It is 8 o'clock. We've got a little bit of time. Do you have any questions? You're not asking the answer man. You're asking just a girl who likes to read Revelation. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so he's saying that the word great tribulation is not in the Bible. Yeah. Okay. What I understand and reading over and over again, the tribulation or the judgments, especially when you get to the bold judgments. I mean, it seems like the first 3.5 years, they're the tribulation. There's stuff that's going on that is unexplainable. But when you get to the midpoint and the last 3.5 years, they are terrible. I would definitely call it the great tribulation. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Well, baptism is an important step to follow, but it's not important as far as being accepting the Lord for salvation. But that is following the Lord, because he does say to believe and then be baptized, but that is not saving us. That makes sense? Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, you're talking to the right girl. Ah, I wasn't going to bring my book until, yes. Okay, so the question is, you know, you're basically witnessing to your family. They don't accept the Lord. Can you leave things for them afterwards? Please do. I realize it, and it's a hard thing to realize, that every single thing I have in my home is going to be destroyed. Even my mother's yadros, they're going to be destroyed. Why? Because of the earthquakes, the meteorites, all these things. But, and one thing I do have, and we have it for emergencies, I have food. Okay? I have some food stored. With the food, I have in a Ziploc bag the end times in chronological order, a book, and I have it sealed, and it's right by the can opener. So I am leaving. Don't you remember back in the 70s when we all thought Jesus was coming and we just wrote letters and we made videos? Well, videos, I mean, how could they even watch it now? But yes, leave things behind and tell them. I would write letters to my grandchildren. I mean, I'm hoping that they get saved and, you know, are saved, but, you know, serving the Lord and things. But there are going to be people who are left behind, especially in our families. And if we can leave something for them, because there will be a multitude of people who do get saved after the rapture, but they will pay a very hard price for that. And we'll talk about that later. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, Scripture says that no one knows the time or the hour. I only think Jesus does, because it says God only knows.
Mm-hmm. And the question is that could there be a coincidence?
And September is the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to get excited because whether or not it is, okay, I don't know the time. None of you know the time. I first want to be ready for it. And when I see these things, like Jesus said, when you see these things happening, look up because your redemption draws nigh. There are so many things in the Jewish tradition, the Feast of Trumpets, you know, the Jubilee year, all of these things. There's so many ways that you can study more. And it amazes me. Now, I think the thing that amazed me the most was when I realized this is not just a bunch of stories put together, different things that God did, and he just compiled it. It is a story from Genesis through Revelation. It is the story of Jesus. It all goes together. The Old Testament supports the New Testament. The New Testament defines the Old Testament. It's amazing. And so for me, I'm not going to make predictions, but whether these things are it or maybe it gets more intense, I don't know. But it excites me. And it causes me to want to know more and more and more than be ready to share. And I'm looking up. I mean, I'm expecting the Lord. And the things that I own, the stuff, I'm going to have to let go of. Somebody's going to come in and rob, you know, my house at some point because of all the destruction. But I'm okay with that because I'll be gone. I'm serving the Lord. And the most thing I want is the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we die, we are absent from the body, we're dead. Our soul and our spirit goes to be with the Lord. So in that calling up, in the resurrection, the rapture, if we are dead, our bodies, our physical bodies, are going to be changed to our heavenly bodies. So our spirit, if we're dead, will meet our new heavenly body, and then we'll go. Yeah, so there's two different things. One's a soul, one's a physical body. Yep, question?
No, I just wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit on what that gentleman was talking about. As far as, I think we need to be careful with getting too close to trying to set any sort of timeline.
Yeah, you can't.
Because when people do that and have done it historically, and it doesn't happen, it winds up having people be misled,
right,
and completely give up the faith altogether. We definitely don't know. It says clearly that we don't know. And it was cool that the Galilean wedding was brought up, because in that case, only the father knew when they would come get the bride. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew, not even the son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the correlation.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Should have included that. Anything else? Yeah.
You know, there's a good movie about the Galilean wedding called Before the Rat.
Oh. Good. Good. All right. Well, let's close in prayer. And next week, be ready, because we're going to dig into the seal judgments, four horsemen of the apocalypse, getting into the nitty-gritty stuff. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for being with us this evening. We pray, God, that Lord, we would just have something to take home to say, you know what, I am ready for the Lord. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for telling us ahead of time what's going to happen. We don't need to know the time or the hour, because if we did, we would mess up until it's time. So I thank you, Lord, that I don't know anything like that. But, Lord, I do want to be found doing my Father's work. And so, Father, just help us, give us wisdom, discernment, because we're walking in uncharted waters right now, Lord. So keep us safe this week, and we look forward to what you're going to be doing next week. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, thank you so much for coming out. Appreciate it. Have a great night.